Hey, coming up next, we have Michael Pearl with No Greater Joy Ministries. We're going to be talking about dating and how to find that spouse. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
AM 980, KKMS.
A woman came to me some time ago. She said to me, "I don't like your church. You're always battling. There's always a scrap, a fight on. You're always fighting." She says, "In our church, we have perfect peace." I said, "Madam, I've been in many a graveyard. There's plenty of peace there. The peace of the dead, you can have that. We don't want the peace of the dead. We want to be in the battle for the Lord." And the Lord declared war upon the devil.
You are listening to the Word of Truth radio program, broadcasting from deep behind enemy lines. Hey, let's go right to our Restoration Auto Glass Insider Hotline, where we have Michael Pearl from No Greater Joy Ministries. Go to nogreaterjoy.org. Michael, welcome back to the Word of Truth once again.
Good to be here, Brad. I'm just glad I'm not up there where it's as cold as it is.
Yes, it is cold up here. What's the temperature down there where you are?
40-ish, maybe a little bit drizzly. We're having a really bad spell right now.
Oh, yeah, it's bad, isn't it? Anyway, hey, tell us about training children to be strong in spirit. That's a new book that you have out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I realized, looking back on our child training, that I always had in mind making my children strong in spirit, boys mm-hmm. and girls alike. What do I mean by that? I mean that they would be rebound in adversity, that they would have a courage and intestinal fortitude, that they wouldn't succumb to criticism or bullying or never would feel sorry for themselves or feel incapable or inadequate, but that they would face every challenge with courage, boldness, a smile, a grin, and, just charge into life mm-hmm. with a lot of joy mm-hmm. and confidence. And so you can train your children to be that way, and that's what we did with ours, and it's proving to be effective. They're between 40 and 30 years old now, and all of them are married, and they have their own businesses, and they're all doing well, and about 20 grandkids, and they're all happy and cheerful, so it just worked out real well.
Oh, praise. What's the big mistake that parents make in training children to be strong in spirit? By the way, not strong in the spirit, but strong in spirit.
Yes. The big mistake people make in training children to be strong in spirit is criticizing them. Someone said the formula for creating an emotionally disturbed individual is to never approve of anything they do and to criticize them. And if you do that, you'll crush the confidence of a child. I was noticing the other day, I looked at one of my grandkids, and there was just this open face of joy and trust and confidence. And I remembered the day before being in a Walmart or something and noticed a mother and a child relating, and they related with a sense of antagonism, with a criticism. Whatever the mother said, the child was disturbed by it, irritated by it. Some people get up in the morning and they're unhappy. Children pick that up, and they get up in the morning and they're unhappy, and it just kind of back and forth seesaws with attitude all day long. So the best thing you can do to prevent that is to just smile into the face of your children. Just enjoy them. Do things with them. Make them successful in the little everyday things of life.
Well, that is fantastic. That book is available, by the way, by going to nogreaterjoy.org, Training Children to Be Strong in Spirit. You know, I read you guys have a new book coming out in January of 2012 called Created to Need a Helpmeet. This is a book for men.
That book is outselling every other book we've got right now, and it won't be on the market for nearly another month. there's a lot of women, several hundred thousand, who bought my wife's book, Created to Be a Helpmeet.
We have that book, by the way, in our house.
All of the women want the Created to Need a Helpmeet for their husbands because they're tired of carrying all the load. And listen, this is a book written by a man to men, and if the men don't like it, listen, I'm ready to whip their butt and just take them on any time. This is man on man. It's kind of some of it's caustic, some of it is bold, some of it is rather assertive. But I'm used to going to prisons and talking to guys, and so this is none of that kumbaya stuff. If you're looking for that, you'll have to go somewhere else. Yeah. This is tell it like it is, man to man, how to have a happy marriage.
Well, you know, in Titus, we're told to exhort each other strongly, not weakly, but we're supposed to strongly do it to each other.
Listen, it's a big book. It's about, I think, 80,000 words, something like that. And I cover a lot of subjects, and I also deal with the concept my wife dealt with, which was the three kinds of men, which is the command man, the king personality, and then the visionary, the prophet personality, and then the steady man, which is the priestly natured individual, like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So each of us is created in the image of God, but the image of God is dispersed among the three persons of the Godhead with different expressions. And so it is, man bears the full nature, the full image of God, but that image is partly in the man and partly in the woman. And the men seem to be divided into three groups. Some of them are commanding and king-like, some of them are visionary and imaginative and creative, and others are steady and priestly and laid back and retired. They're the ones that get henpecked. The command men are the ones who tell their wife what to do and expect them to do it. The visionaries are the ones who run out and do all kinds of crazy stuff and drive their mother-in-law out of their mind. So we talk about that so you can identify yourself and know your strong and your weak points.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to that book coming out, Created to Need a Helpmeet, and that's coming out January 2012. Hey, let's transition into a topic that I've been wanting to ask you about for quite some time, and this is a great opportunity to do that. This whole idea of dating, and then there's this other teaching out there of betrothal, which I think sometimes is often a stretch, and you know, I don't know. Where do you come down as far as dating goes and choosing a spouse? First of all, the technique to do that.
I wrote a booklet called Betrothal to counter the faddish movement that is going on among homeschoolers and some Christians, trying to recover what they think is the biblical approach to seeking a mate. And it's a patchwork amalgamation of a lot of weird and destructive habits. And so I don't espouse betrothal in this new and modern sense that it's taking place. I have many letters of great damage that's been done, and a lot of old maids sitting there still waiting on someone to come by and ask Papa for her hand.
Right.
Now, in our community here in the church, there is no such thing as dating. We don't even teach it. Teach not to date. It's just understood. It's part of the culture because, but by the way, our young people are all getting married and they're having babies. Last week I noticed out of a group of 80 of us that there were 5 or 6 pregnant girls among us. So they're doing pretty well.
Something's working.
Yeah. Now what we teach, what our kids practice, what we encourage is that, teenagers spend time doing constructive things, the boys and girls together, like picking corn, playing volleyball, going on outings, hiking, bicycling, working for someone, rebuilding an old house or a barn, so that they're together a lot and they get to know each other, but there's no one-on-one romance going on. And then as they get old enough for marriage, that is, they're capable right now of marrying, and they feel that they know well the opposite sex. They've gotten to know different personalities. They've had to relate to different kinds of people. They know what they want. They know what they can get along with for the rest of their life.
Okay.
And when God stirs that romance in their heart and that love for another individual, in the process of being in a large group, they will talk with one another. They'll ask, what's your vision for life? How many kids you want to have? Where do you want to live? What do you want to do with your life? And they can go to brothers and sisters and say, what's he like? Does he get mad? You can watch them with their parents. How do they relate to their parents? Do they love? Does the boy love his daddy? Does he respect his daddy? Does he honor his mother? All those things are going to come back and into the marriage. So once they find the mate they think is God's will for them, then they just make a public announcement. The man might choose to go to the father and say, I'm interested in your daughter. What do you think? And he'll go back to his daughter and ask her, and he say, well, I'd like to talk with him. I did that when the boys came to me and said, I'd like to marry your daughter. I said, let's sit down and talk. When's the last time you looked at pornography? What kind of job you got? When did you first start working? And so I interrogated them, but more than that, I sent my boys with them. I said, take them fishing, take them hunting, 3-day weekend, going on a mission trip. What's this guy like? And so my sons and other boys that I trusted were better able to get an inside scoop on the guys than I was. And so I put all that together, and I said to my daughter, I turned about 10 down for one of my daughters.
Did you really?
Yeah, about 10 of them. There was no romance between them. They just, the guy approached me and said he'd like to get to know my daughter, and I asked him a few questions, and some of them I dismissed in 5 minutes. But finally, one of them came along for that particular daughter, and I said, yeah. And he said, well, can I take her for a ride? I said, yeah. They came back 2 days later and said, we're getting married. I said, when? They said, 3 months. I said, okay. So 3 months later, we had a beautiful outdoor wedding. And when he kissed her at the wedding, he announced, this is the first time we've kissed.
Wow.
And so we got to see them plant the big one. And within a year, they were pregnant, and they pumped out about 4 of them now, and got another one on the way. And so they're helping reach that goal of 30 grandkids.
There you go. Hey, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with Michael Pearl. Go to nogreaterjoy.org. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the parental involvement in this whole dating process, or this process to find the significant other, the spouse, the partner, the wife, or the husband. What position do the parents hold in all of this, and how do they help in the decision-making process? We'll continue this with Michael Pearl. Again, go to nogreaterjoy.org. You can get his latest book, Training Children to Be Strong in Spirit. And the next book he's got coming out, January 2012, is for men, Created to Need a Helpmeet. Sounds like a phenomenal book. NoGreaterJoy.org. We'll be back with Michael in a few moments. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Word of Truth with Pastor Brad Brandon.
You are listening to the Word of Truth radio program on our Restoration Auto Glass Insider Hotline is Michael Pearl from No Greater Joy Ministries. Go to nogreaterjoy.org. His latest book, Training Children to Be Strong in Spirit. Phenomenal book. Boy, I can't wait to get a copy of that in my hands. Also, January 2012, his book, Created to Need a Helpmeet, is going to be out for men. So you want to check that out by going to nogreaterjoy.org. Michael, did I just read something about you being on the Today Show?
Yes, they came out and filmed last week. I think it's going to be on next week or something.
Oh, well, what was that about?
Well, our book, To Train Up a Child, is in the home of one out of every 17 children in America under the age of 13. So one out of every 17 children is raised with a book in our home. And over the past several years, there have been two sets of parents that have killed their child, adopted children from Africa. And it was pretty horrible what they did. And one of them beat their child to death. Another one smothered their child to death. One of them was wrapping feces around the child's neck. And so it was pretty nasty, horrible stuff. And so the media got a hold of it and discovered our book was in the home, and then our book advocated as part of child training spanking. And so they said that our book was what caused it. And so we've had four or five TV stations, programs get a hold of us, excuse me, including Anderson Cooper. And I went into New York about 3 weeks ago and filmed with Anderson Cooper, and then we've gone to Nashville a couple times and on TV with a couple of the stations. And then we've done interviews with France and Ireland and New Zealand and England and Canada and, well, all over the world. And still got some more lined up. So bring it on. The more they come after us, the more books we sell, the more people we reach. People are writing and saying, wow, that sounded so bad. I went to your website to see what kind of awful stuff you're doing. And I found it to be the most delightful family resource website I've ever seen. So it's really helping us quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Praise God for that. Again, go to nogreaterjoy.org. Hey, let's pick up this conversation on dating and betrothal. You know, one thing that I've found, Michael, is that people can often react in extreme ways. And I see the dating process as, you know, no parental involvement. It seems like we just turn our children loose and let them go and do whatever they want to do and date whoever they want to date. And then the betrothal process is kind of the pendulum swinging in the opposite direction, where it's all parental control. I think somewhere in the middle, there's a happy medium there and us being moderate in all things. But what involvement should parents have in the process to choose a spouse in their children?
Getting your child in the place to where they make a wise choice for a spouse starts when they're 2 years old.
Okay.
In fact, the battle is really lost or won by the time they're 8 or 9 years old. Ultimately, there is no way that a parent is going to steer or control an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 19, 20-year-old's choice of a mate and do it wisely. In fact, I never did trust my ability to choose a mate for my kids. My boys, in particular, I got two sons, and I chose mates for both of them, and they never did like any of my choices. I finally realized the choices I made were the ones I would have made when I was 20 years old that suited me,
right,
and not what suited them. And they made their own choices, and it turned out they were very wise choices. So you have to instill wisdom in your children. You have to instill values in them that's not your values. They become their values. Mm-hmm. And they're the ones who have to understand the way a female is put together, understand marriage, understand their own needs, their own personality, and be able to just choose wisely. They have to be able to follow the Spirit of God and not follow the flesh, because probably the most stupid people in the world are horny 18-year-olds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, when a guy gets 18, 19 years old,
right.
You can't trust him with anything. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't already have a commitment to righteousness and right choice, his flesh is going to choose. It will not be his brain that chooses. It won't even be his heart that chooses. It'll be another member.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be the wrong choice. So if you don't instill self-discipline, self-control, and wisdom in them early, they're not going to get the right mate.
So basically, the parental involvement is raising your kids right from the very beginning.
Absolutely. Now, another thing we do is we provide a context for them to find a mate. In other words, it got my children involved where there were other young people that were of like mind and like upbringing. If they're in public school, you've lost the battle already.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're in a big public church, you've lost the battle already. So you have to have them in a social context that's going to produce a good mate.
Well, we certainly appreciate you coming on the program once again, Michael. Great information. Michael Pearl from No Greater Joy Ministries. Go to nogreaterjoy.org. Thank you, Michael, for joining us once again.
Brad.
All right. No Greater Joy Ministries. Phenomenal website, too, by the way. I should mention lots of great resources on there. And the latest book, Training Children to Be Strong in Spirit. Not training children to be strong in the spirit, but training children to be strong in spirit. What does that mean? Well, go to Michael's website, nogreaterjoy.org, and get that book. You will not be disappointed. It is a great guide for training your children to be all that God created them to be. Also, coming in January 2012, his latest book, which is sort of the parallel book to the book that his wife wrote, Debbie Pearl, created to be a helpmeet. Michael wrote, created to need a helpmeet. This is a book for men on how to be the husband that God wants us to be. I'll tell you what, these are some great principles that they pull out of the Word of God. Again, you can go to nogreaterjoy.org, and I strongly recommend that you do. Lots of great resources available on there, books, articles, a lot of the articles, absolutely free. Go there and check it out, nogreaterjoy.org. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.